Did y'all hear me? I was just telling everybody how great the Lord's love is. Let's begin this morning. Just open with a word of prayer. Lord, we are so blessed because You've chosen to bless us with Yourself. You've chosen to love us and take care of us and encourage us and keep us. And Lord, You have special designs for each one of us to really prepare us for Your kingdom to come. So Lord, we just come this morning. We pray that as we share Your word, Lord, as we hear Your word, that our eyes will be open to see You. And that Lord Jesus will forget about everything else and be able just to see Jesus this morning as we share in Your word together. I pray for the anointing of the Lord to be upon me, Lord, that I can give forth this burden adequately. And that, Lord Jesus, Your Spirit will quicken and anoint each one that we can also hear what You're saying. Lord, our ears seem to be plugged up until You open them. Lord, it seems as if we're always blind until You open our eyes. So, Lord, do that this morning. We trust You and we depend on Your mercy and Your grace, Lord. Amen. Well, the time is at hand. The time for the conference is next weekend, and the time is at hand. These young people that have just graduated from high school, the time is at hand. Your life is about to change. As I have been considering the conference that lies before us, the Lord seemed to impress some thoughts upon my heart that the time is at hand. The time is at hand. So this morning, if you would, there's some scriptures I need to read that will help us with some background, and then I will give you the scripture that the Lord gave me to speak from this morning. Let's begin with Job chapter 42. Job chapter 42, verse 5 and 6, 10 and 12. This had been preceded in chapter 38 by the Lord appearing to Job out of a whirlwind. And don't turn there, but I'll read it real quick. And Jehovah answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, "Who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge?" And then we go to the 42nd chapter of Job, right before Psalm, verses 5 and 6. "I had heard of thee by the hearing of the ear." This is Job's response. "I had heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees thee. Therefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes." Verse 10. "And Jehovah turned the captivity of Job." Verse 12. "And Jehovah blessed the latter end of Job more than the beginning." Jehovah blessed the latter end of Job more than the beginning. Now go to Isaiah chapter 6. It's right after Song of Songs, Proverbs, Song of Songs, Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 6. Beginning with verse 1. "In the year of the death of King Uzziah, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple." Verse 5. "And I said, Woe unto me, for I am undone, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, And one of the seraphim flew to me and had his hand of a glowing coal, which he had taken from the tongs of the with tongs from the altar. And it touched my mouth and said, "Behold, this has touched thy lips, and thy iniquity is taken away, thy sin expiated." And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" And I said, "Here am I, send me." Okay, let's turn to Ezekiel chapter 1. Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 1. "Now it came to pass in the 13th year, in the 4th month of the 5th of the month, I was among the captives by the river Chebar, and the heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God." Verse 4. "And I looked, and behold, a stormy wind came out of the north, a great cloud and a fire enfolding itself, and a brightness was about it, and out of the midst thereof, as the look of glowing brass, out of the midst of the fire, also out of the midst thereof, the likeness of four living creatures." Go chapter 1, verse 16. "The appearance of the wheels and their work was the look of crystallite, and they had four, and the four had one likeness. And their appearance and their work was, it were, a wheel in the middle of a wheel." Chapter 3, verse 14. 3:14. "And the Spirit lifted me up and took me away, and I went in bitterness, in the heat of my spirit, and the hand of Jehovah was strong upon me. And I came to them of the captivity of Telabab, that dwelt by the river Chebar, and I sat where they sat, and I sat there astonished among them for 7 days." Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9, verse 3, speaking of Paul's vision on the Damascus Road. "But as he was journeying, it came to pass that he drew near to Damascus, and there shone around him a light out of heaven. And falling to the earth, he heard a voice saying, 'Saul, Saul, why persecute me?' And he said, 'Who are you, Lord?' And he said, 'I am Jesus, whom you persecute. But rise and enter into the city.'" Go to verse 9. "And they brought him to Damascus, and he was there 3 days without sight. He neither ate nor drank." Verse 15. "And the Lord said to him, 'Go,'" speaking of Ananias, "'for this man is an elect vessel to me to bear my name before the nations and before kings." Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1, verse 1. I'm going to read verse 1 and part of verse 4, then verse 7, 17, 19. "The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to him to show to his bondmen." The last part of verse 3. "For the time is near," or "the time is at hand. Behold," verse 7, "He comes with the clouds, and every eye shall see Him." Verse 17, "And when I saw Him, I fell at His feet as dead. And He laid His right hand upon me, saying, 'Fear not, I am the first and the last, the living one. I became dead, and behold, I live to the ages of ages, and have the keys of death and Hades. Write therefore what thou hast seen.'" the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to show to His bondman. For the time is at hand. The time is at hand. I wonder this morning, brothers and sisters, what any of us would do, and I would challenge you to think about this morning. What would you do if the Lord came to you and looked at you and said, "The time is at hand. The time is at hand." And we know from the scriptures we read this morning, the time at hand that He's speaking of is not the conference, but His soon return. The time is at hand. What would you do? Would it in any way alter your life? Would you reconsider your priorities at all? Would you humble yourself before the Lord? Would you ask for forgiveness? Would there be repentance in your heart because you know you're not ready, but the time is at hand? Would you begin praying? Would you be into His Word so that you could understand more about Him before He does return? Would you go about changing the priorities of your life so that you would be prepared because the time is at hand? The Lord has told you personally the time is at hand. What would you be concerned about? Would you still be as concerned about the many little issues in your life, all very legitimate things that we have to deal with? Would that be still your main concern? Or would the Lord and His purpose now become your concern? What would you do? I want to say very emphatically, brothers and sisters, and may the Lord open our ears and eyes this morning, I want to tell you, the time is at hand. The Lord is telling you, the time is at hand. And we need to be prepared. I think when we reflect on this, that the Lord is telling us the time is at hand, we may begin to think, well, you know, He said this was 2,000 years ago when He said the time was at hand. Many generations have passed. Does this really apply to me? Well, one thing that I was really impressed with as this verse struck me as it did was when the Lord says something, it's real. When the Lord says something, it cannot be challenged. It has to be true. So when the Lord says the time is at hand, we can't look at the circumstances and the situations and say, well, maybe the time isn't at hand. After all, it's been 2,000 years. All I can tell you is the Lord is the one that has said the time is at hand. And when that impacts you personally, it alters your life. Because you have to rethink about what your priorities are. The time is at hand. And brothers and sisters, if the time was at hand 2,000 years ago, how much closer it must be today. You know, in the Word of God, in Luke chapter 21, it speaks of the time of the Gentiles. And I think it's in Matthew, the Lord refers to the fig tree. And in that parable of the fig tree, they've asked the Lord, "When is the time going to be, Lord?" And He says, "Look at the fig tree. When it begins to bud, you know summer is near. brothers and sisters, the fig tree is always representative of the nation of Israel. Today, the nation of Israel is a sign to the nations. They are God's sign to the nation that God is still in control and that God is coming. Now, why do I say that? It's because the Lord, many, many years ago through His prophets, told Israel, told the nation, that they would fail, that they would turn from God, and that He would have to scatter them among the nations, and they would be despised among the nations. And we all know that that's been true, particularly in World War II, when Hitler tried to exterminate all of the nation of Israel. In fact, it became a nation no more, or seemingly so. But brothers and sisters, the fig tree budded in 1947 when Israel was officially recognized as a nation. The fig tree budded in 1947. That's almost 60 years ago. Watch the fig tree, he says. And then in Luke 21, speaking once again of his return, and they had asked him for the signs of the time when he would come back, the Lord said, right before I come back, he said, Jerusalem will be trodden underfoot, and it will be the time of the Gentiles, and when that time ends, then I will be coming back. Well, Jerusalem came under full control of the nation of Israel in 1967, almost 40 years ago. Brothers and sisters, I don't know how many more days of grace we will have, but I am impressed with the fact that when the Lord says the time is at hand, in our lives we need to receive that. We need to move through our lives. We need to operate our lives. We need to live in the light of the fact that the time is at hand and our Lord will be back soon. In Matthew 24, he said, the evil servant will say, the Lord delays, and he will go about doing destructive things. I thought about that. The real issue, the problem that this servant had was, somehow in his mind and heart, he had taken on this thought that the Lord is delaying. And that very position of heart and mind put him on a dangerous track. To the point the Lord says, the evil servant will say, the Lord is delaying. Well, brothers and sisters, I doubt anyone in this room has gone around saying, the Lord's delaying. You may have, I don't know. But can I say this, because I can say it about myself? Have we been living our life as if the Lord was delaying? It's the heart. It's not what we say so much with our mouth. It is our heart. And brothers and sisters, life itself wants us to somehow believe that we have much time ahead. The enemy wants us to believe that the Lord is delaying. But the Lord's word to us, look, the time is at hand. Live in the light of the fact that the time is at hand. If you will live in the light of the fact that the time is at hand, your life will become centered upon the Lord and His purpose, and you will live your life in the order in which He expects and anticipates. Otherwise, you will live your life as if I am delaying. So I've been very impressed with this matter of the time is at hand. and that we need to be prepared. And I believe, brothers and sisters, at the conference, the Lord really does want to reveal Himself to us, to each one of us that comes. And I think it's on my heart is that we be prepared for that, because the time is at hand, and we need to be prepared for His return, and we need to be prepared for the next week spiritually that's coming up. Many of us who will be serving there will be busy, very busy. But brothers and sisters, that should not keep us in any way from receiving from the Lord Jesus, because many of the Old Testament prophets were called when they were working and busy about things. Not just those that were sitting around reflecting on the Lord. I remember one of them was out plying the field when the Lord spoke to him. So what is needed? And I was very impressed with the connection in Revelation chapter 1 where it says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which He gave to John to give to the bondman. And then it says, for the time is at hand. Brothers and sisters, I really do believe we live in an age, because the time is at hand, that it is absolutely essential that we have a revelation. I believe the Lord, when He got to this point in history, He was saying, my people need a revelation because of what lies ahead, and in order for them to be prepared for what lies ahead and my soon return, they need revelation. They need this revelation, and I want you to give it to my bondman. What is revelation? Job said, as we read this morning, I have heard of thee with the hearing of my ear, but now I have seen thee. We know the story of Job, don't we, brothers and sisters? He was stripped of everything. Family, friends, wealth. He had been greatly blessed. It said he was a righteous man, and he stood before the Lord. And the Lord was the one that put it out, challenged the adversary with Job. He said, have you seen Job? He's a righteous man. He doesn't deny my name. And Job was stripped of everything. And of course, Job was like we are, brothers and sisters. Often when we go through these deep trials of life, we don't understand. In fact, much of what happens to us seems to be contrary to the nature of the Lord and the Lord's ways and the ways dealt with us in the past. All of a sudden, something totally contrary comes into our life. And it's very difficult to understand. And we see 37 chapters of Job becoming emotionally exhausted in wrestling with what was wrong and his situation. I always found it interesting that Job was so faithful. Even in the midst of the trial, we hear words like, Lord, if you slay me, yet I will trust you. What a testimony. He knew the Lord. He knew the Lord. He prayed daily to the Lord and for his family. He was a righteous man. He loved God, and he wanted to be right with God. But the Lord finally appeared to Job after his total mental and emotional exhaustion. The Lord appears to Job in a whirlwind, and I've always thought it had to be in a whirlwind because Job's whole life was in a whirlwind, and he just couldn't see anything, and the Lord had to do something very dramatic to get Job's attention. But He gets Job's attention, and the Lord begins to speak to Job. And at the end of the next couple of chapters, when we come to 42, Job just falls down. He he looks at the Lord. He says, I have heard of thee before, Lord. My relationship to thee in the past, it's just as if I've just heard about thee. But now I have seen thee. You know, Job no longer asked the Lord why. There were no more questions because he had seen the Lord. It says the Lord turned Job's captivity and he was blessed in his latter end far more than in the beginning. So, what is revelation, brothers and sisters? It is more than a mental apprehension of the Lord. It is more than believing in the Lord. Because Job did. Revelation is seeing the Lord in itself. Seeing, I don't know how to put it, seeing the whole Lord, not just a piece, not just something about the Lord, but seeing the Lord Himself. That is revelation. It is opening our spiritual eyes, the eyes of our heart, to be able to see the Lord in all of His majesty, to see the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You've seen the Lamb, but have you seen the King? Have you seen the Lord of Lords as Job did? Brothers and sisters, when revelation comes, it becomes your life. It becomes your vocation. It alters you. It changes you. Job's response was, I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. He was undone. You think about this. Such a righteous man that the enemy himself could not find anything wrong with Job. Think about that. But when he saw the Lord, he says, I repent in dust and ashes. He was undone. But thank God, the Lord appeared to Job and it changed him. Revelation. I think we need revelation, brothers and sisters. Isaiah. He saw the Lord in the temple. It says, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. His glory filled the temple. He had this revelation. It came from God. You know, revelation, as I said, is not mental apprehension. Remember Peter? Remember when Peter received the revelation of the Christ? The Lord had asked Peter, who am I? And he said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And the Lord said, you're blessed, Simon Bar-Jonah. Because flesh and blood has not revealed this, but my Father who is in heaven revealed this to you. That's what revelation is. That's what we need, brothers and sisters. Spiritual revelation. Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up. And what did Isaiah say? He says, woe to me. I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips. And I dwell in a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King. He was just undone. Once again, think about it. Isaiah, for six chapters, Isaiah had been preaching to the people of God, warning them of impending judgment, warning them that their lives were not right with God, and that they needed to get right with God because His judgment was coming. He preached the truth for six chapters. And then he sees the Lord. He sees the King. And his ministry changes, brothers and sisters. What happens to him? He sees the Lord and he says, look. He says, I'm a man of unclean lips. Has he not been sharing the Lord's Word for six chapters? Of course he has. But brothers and sisters, when he saw the Lord high and lifted up, he realized that he was no better than the ones he was speaking to. The Lord undid him. The Lord showed him who he was, but he also saw the king. And it undid our brother Isaiah. But brothers and sisters, his ministry changed after that. We see the compassion of the Lord in his ministry. He not only spoke of judgment, but of restoration. He had compassion because he saw that he was in the same condition that the people were. I think it's very interesting also. The Lord shares with him and he repents before the Lord. And the Lord looks at him and says, "Whom shall I send?" And Isaiah said, "Send me." Had not Isaiah been sent before? Was he out there on his own preaching? No. But the Lord had something to share with his people. And because of Isaiah's own spiritual condition, because, brothers and sisters, even though he was a very righteous man and loved the Lord and shared his word, something had to be done in Isaiah's life to bring him in line with what God really wanted him to share. And he had to have this revelation of the king. And when he did, the Lord said, "Whom shall I send? Whom shall I send?" Vocation. I better move along. Ezekiel. Young man. Ezekiel was a young man. And when the Lord appeared to him, it was as a storm, and a fiery storm, enveloping itself in fire as burning brass, it says. And it goes on to say that it goes on for a number of chapters, describing this revelation of the Lord that he has. And it goes on to say that the work was as a wheel within a wheel. I'm just going to say this in pass, but that is the Lord Jesus and his church. It's the work. He had a full revelation of the king and his work. And what happened to Ezekiel? The Spirit got a hold of Ezekiel, took him to another place, and he says, "I sat where they sat." Brothers and sisters, that means he related to the people he was with. "I sat where they sat. They were captives. I'm a captive." And the Lord looks at Ezekiel and he says, "You will be my watchman." Once again, the vocation came out of the revelation that was seen. Paul on the Damascus Road. Stephen has shared on that recently. And we remember how Paul was blinded when he saw the Lord on the Damascus Road for three days. And he finally spoke to Ananias and said, "You need to go and touch Paul's eyes and open them. For he is an elect vessel, and he will bear my name before the Gentiles." This so impressed the Apostle Paul, or Saul at that time, that we know that for a period of 3 years he went off to himself, and then finally and returned to Damascus during that 3 years. But he, brothers and sisters, you see the impact it had on this man's life. This Pharisee of Pharisees. You know, I understand that they actually had the Old Testament practically memorized. And he knew the Word of God. At least he thought he knew the Word of God. But when he saw the Lord Jesus Christ on the Damascus Road, when revelation was given to him and he was blinded for 3 days, it took him another 3 years to understand what the Word of God was saying in the light of the revelation that he was given. In other words, let me say it another way. If you want to understand what is in this book, you need a revelation of the King. Brothers and sisters, we're flesh and blood. We need revelation. Paul's life, I think, is defined by this little statement, or one of these. This is one of them. I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. Think about that. The heavenly vision is more than a doctrine. It's more than just letters in the Bible, words. The heavenly vision is a person. I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. In other words, brothers and sisters, this vision that he received is something that he had to obey. Something that caused in his life to know that all that I do, all that I say has to come in line with this heavenly vision that I've seen. If it doesn't cue up to the heavenly vision, then it's not a part of my life. And thank God Paul was able to say he was not disobedient to what he had seen. In John, Revelation 1:17, you know the Apostle John, he was a dear, dear brother. He was in his old age at the time. He was on the Isle of Patmos for the testimony of Jesus. In other words, he had been sharing in the churches, and finally the government had taken him and put him on this prison isle. And it said he was looking out over the ocean there and could see in the distance the land that he had been exiled from and the churches he was thinking about, wondering what would happen. Who would take care of the churches? He was the last of the apostles that was still alive. What would happen? The Lord gave him his answer by giving him revelation to share what the churches needed. Was revelation of the King, and he shared that with John. And today we have the revelation that John was shared with our brother John. Brothers and sisters, we need to see like John did. John was a precious brother. You know, he's the one that, of course, wrote the Gospel of John. He was the one who saw who Christ was. He saw whom this Jesus really was. He saw that he was the Son of God and the Son of Man. He saw that he was really God. And he shares that with us in his gospel. He had revelation of Christ as the Lamb. He had revelation of Christ as the Son of Man, the Son of God. I don't know if there was many of them, even among the apostles, that were closer to the Lord than John was. Remember, he was the one he always speaks about. He was leaning on the Lord's breast. He was there. He was a fisherman, a hardened fisherman. Yet we find this man leaning at the Lord's on the Lord's breast because he loved the Lord and he wanted to be with the Lord. He had known the Lord as his friend. He had known the Lord as his provision. He had known the Lord all his life as one who had taken care of him and met all of his needs. He loved the Lord so much that he was imprisoned because of his testimony of the Lord Jesus in his life. But in revelation, when he receives this revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, it strikes him down to the ground. One whom is so familiar with the Lord, who loves the Lord so much, and yet he's stricken as one dead. And it says the Spirit had to actually pick him up. I think it's clear if you read Revelation 1 as we have this morning that it's God's desire that all God's bondmen have revelation. Brothers and sisters, you might say today, well, I don't merit revelation. No one merits revelation, just as no one merits salvation. Would you say that that Saul merited revelation? He had been persecuting the church. Couldn't say that he merited revelation, yet revelation came to Paul. It is by grace, brothers and sisters. It is just the grace of God if you receive revelation. But there seems to be a condition. As I read what I've read this morning, and I read Revelation, there seems to be a condition. And that is, all of these men, including Saul, were looking for the Lord. He says to my bondman, and what is a bondman? Max shared on this last week. It's one who is free, yet he gives up all his rights, all of his self-desires, all of his self-interest, and said, I only have one interest. And that's whatever the Lord's interest is my interest. That's a bondman. And a bondman does not serve out of duty, but out of love. He will not leave the master because he loves him so much. Brothers and sisters, revelation, the condition for revelation, to me, seems to be the heart. A right heart condition. A right heart condition before the Lord. And you know, we can't know our own heart. I think there's some here today say, well, I know my heart is too evil. My heart's not right with the Lord. Of course we can go back to the Lord. He honors that. But may I say, there may be some that says, yeah, I feel okay about myself. I've heard people say that before. I feel right with the Lord. Job was right with the Lord. Look at Job. What happened? He says, I abhor myself. We will have to see what we are in the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is true. But I've thought about this, and I thought, I go back to Saul, the Paul, and I said, Lord, I know he didn't merit it. And it doesn't seem like he had a heart for you because he was persecuting your people. But he did have a heart for God. It said he was a Pharisee of Pharisees, and he followed the law totally. In other words, he was doing all that he could. He thought he was working for God. He was deceived and misled. You know what I think? And this is just what I think. So take it that way. But I believe the Lord looked into the heart of Saul. And he said, his heart is ready for revelation. His heart is ready. I think for all these other ones that we've read this morning, Job, Isaiah, Ezekiel, and there's many others. The Lord looked on their heart and says, oh, their heart's ready to receive revelation. And brothers and sisters, that's what I think is so critical before next week, is our hearts. Is our heart ready for revelation? You don't know. You really don't know. Now, obviously, there's some of us that have had things that we're dealing with the Lord and we know we need to get right, and we should. But the Lord knows. But you know what we can do? We can pray. I think we can really pray, Lord, I need revelation. The time is at hand. The time is at hand, Lord. You've told me that, and I need revelation. But you've also shared with me, I need my heart to be right to receive revelation. And only you know what that is, Lord. And please, in this next week, get me ready. Get our hearts ready. Not only my heart, but the heart of everyone that's coming. And I really really think we need to be crying out that our hearts be made ready. Let me just end with this, brothers and sisters. The time is at hand. I hope you hear that this morning. I hope that somehow the Lord has been able to open your eyes or in your ears to really realize that the time is at hand. And we should not be the ones that operate our lives from the standpoint of, hey, the Lord's delaying, so I need to get about this other business I've got to take care of. The Lord's delaying. I'll get back to that business, the Lord's business, later. But I've got my business to take care of now. Sure, we have business to take care of. But the time is at hand. You've had revelation of the Lamb. I think most of the people in this room have, that know the Lord Jesus Christ, that received Him into their heart as their Lord and Savior. You know that He's the Lamb. You've received revelation of the Lamb. You've known the Lord's provision in your life. Whether you received it or not, it's a different story, but you've known the Lord's provision. You know the Lord's taken care of you and protected you and provided for you. And you love the Lord. Yes, you may have sinned and you've had problems, but you love the Lord. But have you seen Him? I always think how dear John, so close to the Lord, but boy, when he saw the Lord in this way, how it dealt with our brother John. And what a marvelous revelation. A lot of people think that this is a very scary book. But what it is, it's a revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to read it from that perspective. But, brothers and sisters, you need more than just thinking, okay, I'm going to read Revelation. I know it's a revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, may we need to be asking the Lord, Lord, give me that revelation. Then when I read this, this will make sense. Well, have you had this revelation? This week, may the Lord give us grace that realizing that the time is at hand, that we will pray that our hearts be made ready for revelation, because it's absolutely necessary to God's church. Not only me, not only you, not only the church in Richmond, but all over the world, the Lord's people need revelation, for the time is at hand. And may we be ones that are willing to stand into the gap in travailing prayer until the Lord answers that. You know, Paul prayed for the Ephesian church, and his prayer was that the Lord might give them a spirit of wisdom and revelation. I find it interesting, that's the only one that he records praying for in that way. And I believe Paul was able to pray for them in that way because the Lord had revealed to Paul their hearts were ready to receive revelation. And you know what the issue, what the main thing was in that church, was first love. Because we know the Lord in Revelation challenges them over that issue. That in the beginning they'd had first love, and He was able to reveal Himself to them. So brothers and sisters, this is not an impossible prayer request. The Lord will answer. So may the Lord grace us. The time is at hand. Lord, we come to Thee today. I guess what's on my heart, Lord, is that You could really make it real to us that the time is at hand. That this is not a thought for the future, but it's now. And that, Lord Jesus, You would really work on our hearts. That, Lord, You could get them in a condition that we could receive revelation, Lord. That's what we need. Lord, do this not for our sake, but for Your own sake. Because You are the Lord of Lords and King of Kings, and Your bondmen need to see You that way. And so, Lord, we come today. I pray, Lord, that this conference will be marked by revelation. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.